Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be sore at the banks. How? We fired our CEO and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And I'm very excited about having our good buddy, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, back on the show. Bill is the chief economist for the NFIB. He is a professor of economics at Temple University, and he has been a member of our Brain Trust for over 10 years. And folks, since the early 70s, Bill Dunkelberg started when he was just in kindergarten. Bill started polling small business owners, and his survey of small business conditions that he's been doing now all these years for over 30 years, well over 30 years, is now the standard beyond which nothing will surpass the work that he's done. And we're very happy to be the monthly beneficiaries of his research and the great work that he does. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much.
Good to have you back. And as always, saw you on CNBC this week.
Yeah, well, that was time to release the unfortunately bad news.
Yeah, they had your handsome picture up on the screen announcing you were coming, and then you were there, and so good for you. Of course, that's not, you know, that doesn't approach the red letter day that you have when you're on my show, right?
That's it. This is the monthly appearance that counts.
That's right. That's the story we're sticking to.
You put a picture of me up on the radio studio.
Of course. Oh, listen, you're all over our website.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're the, you know, we have featured articles, featured interviews, and featured faces. Yours is the featured face today.
There you go.
Hey, Bill.
As
you know, your survey is our preeminent one. We actually connect with a few other folks who are taking the pulse of small business. We do a small survey of our own compared to yours on our website, and the consensus seems to be basically what's the supports the results of your index this month, and that's that people are feeling a little bit down the mouth about the economy.
Yeah, indeed. You know, it's not looking really good. And again, you know, what things are happening that would make you feel optimistic? And has Harry Reid said anything that made you excited about the future?
No.
Or Nancy Pelosi? Or, you know, they're all the things that they keep talking about are not going to be good for the economy and for small businesses. And, you know, so yesterday the VAT tax was back. I mean, and that's a
Who brought that up again? Who brought that up again yesterday?
Well, let's see, who was that? I was watching a long piece, I think it was on Fox and Friends. They were doing a review of the
somebody actually proposed that again?
Yep, it's been, you know, the talk is out again, and of course everybody says, you know, it's a tax and it can raise revenue, but what nobody points out, and it's the usual way the small businesses are forgotten, is the compliance costs of a VAT are really high. And the problem is that of course, Congress does not care that it costs us a dollar to give them a dime. They just want the dime.
Right.
So
that's right.
They don't care about compliance costs. You know, heck with that. You know, put it in, get the money, and run.
Well, I'll tell you what. When America has a VAT tax on top of the income tax, that's when we're doomed. When that happens, folks, you know, just go ahead and you know, get in bed and pull the covers up over your head, because we've seen what that does. That kind of extra layer of taxation has done to Europe.
Yeah,
I mean,
European,
if they have 2.5% growth in a year, they feel like they've not hit a grand slam home run.
Exactly, and that tax course was sold the same way. It's a teeny tax, so it starts off at 2% or 1%. Now it's at 20%, and the income tax is still there. So big government, you know, lots of inefficiency. And
I wrote an article. I went to Stockholm, Sweden, a few years ago, and interviewed some business owners over there about different things, but also their tax structure. And there's an article on my website. I've forgotten. I think if you just type in Stockholm, you probably can find it. I've forgotten the title of it. But it's where I sort of enumerated the different layers of taxes that they go through, that they have over there. And it blows your mind. And I did the same thing a few years later in Denmark. And it blows your mind, the things that the taxes that they pay. And guess what? They've gotten to the point where they think that's normal.
That's right. Well, you know, it sneaks up on you. It's the old, how do you cook a frog deal, right?
Right.
You don't throw them in hot water. You put them in cool water. Start it at 2%, then take it up to 20%.
Right. That's exactly right.
Cooked.
The only, folks, here's the thing. The only way the VAT tax can work in America, and it could work, is if the 16th Amendment that gave rise to the personal income tax, if we repeal that amendment so there's no personal income tax, it can only replace the income tax. It can't be in addition. Otherwise, we're cooked like the frog. 20 till, right back with Bill Dunkelberg. We're going to get into the survey after these messages. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of good stuff there on the website that will help you with your small business articles that I've written or my Brain Trust members have written. Archives of past interviews all the way back to 99. And the knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is there. My blog is there. My newsletter, please subscribe to that. We'll send you that. It's free every Sunday afternoon by email. And don't forget to take our poll question. And the poll question this week is, what should we do with the health care bill? Is it going to be good for small business or not? And what do you think about that? We'd like to know your answer, if you will. Just go to the homepage there, click on your answer. When you do, you'll see what the results of the poll is so far. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I'm on Twitter. If you are, you want to follow me, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. We're talking about the NFIB's Index of Small Business Conditions. Bill, overall, the overall index lost almost a point last month, didn't it?
Right. No, 1 point down, which is, you know, unfortunate, because we're staying in that 80s range. And then we've been there for 2 years, and those are recession-level readings. We just don't see anything happening out there. Capital spending remains at a 35-year low, so we're not replacing equipment or expanding our businesses.
Hiring new people. Or
the hiring is hiring, at least, you know, for the last couple of months has improved a little bit. So the loss per firm is smaller than it was a few months ago.
Yeah, surely
hiring,
that's over.
And hiring plans are positive, but just barely 1%, 2% more plan to increase employment than to decrease it. It should be 10 and 15% numbers if we're in an expansion, and we're not.
Right. Well, we've hired two new people this year in our firm.
Well, I think that was the two that I measured then.
Probably so, yeah. Okay, give us a perspective of where the general index, the economic, the attitude about the economy. Your major index reading there. Give us a perspective on that with where it is historically.
Well, the index came out at 88, and there are probably only, 15 or 20 readings out of, how many the readings are, 35 years times 12 or a year. So anyway, we don't have many readings down below 90, and that's where we still are. This time, if you compare the index to where we were at the comparable period after the 1982 recession ended, or the 74-5 recession ended, you know, we're way below the index.
Yeah.
They took no time at all in the first quarter out in those recessions, recoveries. We were already at 100, and then rising up to new records in 1983. Here we're tipped down. I mean, so we're just crawling along the 90 line, and now we're down below it again, which means that nobody's really, doing anything out there.
Well, one thing, Bill, it seems to me that where this is different, and as you know, I've been, my first recession to work through was 1969. I was in college. I got laid off because of it. And when I think about all the ones we've had since then, those have, most primarily, they have been cyclical, economic cyclical conditions. And through all the recession, the recovery, we still had basically all the institutions that we've had for 150 years. The institutions were still in place. I mean, Fannie Mae was there, General Motors was there, Bear Stearns was there, Lehman Brothers was there, were there, et cetera, et cetera. But that's what's different about this one. This is not, this recession is not, it's more structural than cyclical. What do you think about that analogy? Because of the institutions we've lost.
Yeah, it's all of them are different, of course, and this one was triggered by what we see happening to all of the recessions. That is, things get too exuberant and we get out of hand. So if you go back to '79, the government was spending too much, the Fed was printing too much money, blah blah blah. You know, trying to offset the rising oil prices, that didn't work.
Right.
And
Bill, when the recovery happened, we had the institutions sitting there ready to go.
Yeah.
That's what's different this time.
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm not sure, quite honestly, that losing Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers really mattered much one way or the other out on Main Street. They were behaving badly, and we can lose firms like that.
Yeah.
The big banks, of course, lost a lot of money, and they got temporarily bailed out.
But you got to admit, Bill, this is not from the standpoint of the credit market. This is unprecedented in our lifetime.
Well, certainly the duration of the thing. I mean, so the biggest problem we have in getting the economy moving is that we, had the housing bubble. We built too many houses, so.
Yep.
Housing starts are now below 500,000. Sounds like a lot, except that in normal times we would be doing 1.5 million or 1.6 million.
Well, the other problem is the median price of homes has gone down 25% in the last 2 years.
Well, that's true, but for most of us who aren't moving and so on, that shouldn't matter to us.
Right.
I mean, it went up and then went down. The stocks go up and down, and you feel bad because you say, "Gee, if I'd sold my stocks at the peak, I'd be rich. If I sold my house at the peak, I could buy it back 25% less." But most people just go through that,
Right.
But what we need is something to create jobs, and we're missing 1 million housing starts. And of course, the banks aren't lending money for housing starts because it's insane to start another house in most parts of the country. And so it's that, and the consumer's reticence to spend. And the need to save because they took on too much debt.
Is there any good news?
In that sense.
Bill, is there any good news at all? Hold on to that thought. I'm going to ask you that question. We'll come back after these messages. Is there any good news? Folks, I told you before, I'm going to say it again. This is a marathon recovery. It's going to take a long time to work through these toxins to finish this race. We're going to have highs. We're going to have lows before it's over. And we're in one of those lows right now. Tintail, stay with us.
In a white room with black curtains near the station.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Dr. William Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB. Bill, that's NFIB.com, right?
Right.
They can find the survey there and also on your own website.
Right, smallbiz.org.
smallbus.org, and thank you for allowing us to post the survey on our website, Bill. We appreciate that very much, so our audience can see it. And folks, I hope you check it out. The commentary, the summary and the commentary are in plain English. There's a lot of graphs and stuff in the survey itself that you want to check out if you have time, but you'll get some benefit from reading the plain English summary and commentary that Bill prepares every month, and which we appreciate very much. Bill, any good news at all? I mean, isn't every day that goes by a cleansing, clarifying day that moves us closer to resolution and towards some expansion?
Well, let's hope so. I think the thing that everybody's looking forward to now is the election.
Why do you think they're looking forward to that?
Well, because we're going to change the management team. I mean, the big problem that we have, the reason we're not optimistic about the future for the economy. And we had that was the main cause of the decline in the index this time. The reason that we feel that way is that the decisions we see them making don't make any sense. For example, $26 billion spent the other day in a hurry, fly back and spend $26 billion to save teachers' jobs and firefighters' jobs and policemen jobs. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's a state and local problem.
That's right.
Why,
that's right.
You know, why is Washington, who's never been to these towns even, why are these people sending money for this? And the answer is pure politics. It's going to unions.
Right.
And the states that behave, like Indiana, that has a surplus, managed well, they get zapped in this deal.
Right.
And the money goes to the misbehaving people. This government rewards failure.
We feel like the Germans felt when the Euro folks bailed out Greece, right?
Exactly.
They're cutting back, and Greece won't cut back, and yet they're bailing Greece out. So no, I agree with you. And the good news, you think, is going to come after the election. You think that people will. So what do you think is going to happen in the election?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the House will change hands, which is very good. So we won't see Nancy Pelosi and her insane ideas, leading the way. I mean, she led the charge on the health care bill and, you know, didn't oversee it well to make sure that it was a sensible bill. And that's the problem. So they just wanted to pass the bill, 2,600 pages. That's so irresponsible. We need some people who are more responsible and say, well, how's this going to affect Main Street? You know, what will it do? We know what we'd like to accomplish, but what's the cost of it? They don't ask themselves that question at all.
Well, and to be fair, Bill, you know, a Republican administration created TARP, which allowed money from our coffers to go to banks, and a lot of it, as you and I both know, a lot of that money went to European banks.
Yeah, it got passed through in a liquidity sense that is asset swaps.
But we didn't put the kind of restrictions on it we should have, and that happened in a Republican administration. My point is we got a lot of problems, in my opinion, with the leadership on both sides of the aisle.
Oh yeah, look at all the problems that nobody's dealt with, like immigration. Everybody kicks the can down the road, and
a sensible and energy policy.
Yep, energy policy. I mean, you name it. The Republicans, had the chance to do good things, and they kicked that. They lost that opportunity.
So what are we going to do? I mean, do you think the electorate is at a point where, Bill, where they're willing to do what it takes to find the right people?
Well, I think so. You know, I've watched the coverage of the Tea Parties. That's pretty impressive when that many people actually leave their daily lives, their routines, and head out and. Make it clear to Washington or some state level government that it had enough.
I do believe that not just because the Democrats are going to lose, but because there's going to be a change. I do believe that will release a lot of pent up emotions and demand, and will make 2011 better. Don't you?
I think so. I think that that's one of the, if we eliminate that major source of uncertainty. I mean, Washington is like the biggest source of uncertainty. If you want to build, if you like drilling, what can we do with drilling now? Well, Washington made a rule, and everybody's sitting on their thumbs waiting for these people who have never had a real job to decide when drilling can happen. You know, they don't know the science. They don't know anything. They just react, in some silly way. That's the problem. Washington creates all this uncertainty.
Folks,
and it gets in the way.
And right now, and we have the Washington we deserve if we don't change it, if we don't make some changes. And,
exactly.
And I'm not talking about any particular party. We've got to get some leadership in Washington, D.C., folks. If we don't, we're doomed. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure, Jim.
Good job. We'll see you next time. Bill Dunkelberg, folks, he'll be back. I will be, too, in the next hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.